and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Despite a judge saying don't do it, White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt says the administration acted properly when the president invoked the Alien Enemies Act of 1798 to deport accused Venezuelan gang members.
All of the planes that were subject to the written order, the judge's written order, took off before the order was entered in the courtroom on Saturday.
The ACLU is challenging it. At least 42 people in 9 states are killed in weekend storms. Mississippi Governor Tate Reeves says of one twister.
Oftentimes these tornadoes hit ground, bounce up, maybe they hit ground and do a lot of destroying and then go up into the atmosphere. This one was on the ground for 70 plus miles.
President Trump is expected to speak with his Russian counterpart tomorrow on ending the war in Ukraine.
We're going to have a very important call. You know, we've had calls, but we're getting down to a very critical stage. And we want to get the whole Russia-Ukraine thing done.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kaye. One man is hospitalized in serious condition after being shot in the village of Amherst. On Sunday, the Portage County Sheriff's Office responded to the report of the shooting to a location on Mill Street. They found 43-year-old Ryan Ovojkovich, who had sustained a gunshot wound. Ryan was transported by Amherst ambulance to the Stevens Point Airport, where he was flown by medevac to Wausau. Officers arrested 42-year-old Justin Ovojkovich after investigating the incident. They found a verbal altercation had broken out between the two men, and it turned physical. Justin Ovojkovich is booked into the Portage County Jail on a charge of attempted first-degree intentional homicide. The investigation is ongoing. This was an isolated incident, and there is no danger to the public. If you live in the village of Port Edwards, the park restrooms opened up last Friday. They will be open daily from 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. Today is the first day of brush pickup. It'll be picked up every other week throughout the season. Grass and leaf pickup begins on April 14th. The village garage sale is scheduled for May 17th. The sun is shining and the temps are warm, but the high winds bring the possibility of wildfires. Our meteorologist Brittany Merlot has more.
And with temperatures warming up today and winds whipping up to 40 miles per hour, there is a high fire danger. Burn bans are in place, and you need to be careful with equipment sparking, and definitely don't toss your cigarette butt anywhere.
There's an exotic pet surrender event happening later this month. If you're no longer able to care for your exotic pet, you can surrender them with no questions asked on Friday, March 28th. It's from noon to 3 p.m. at the Holiday Inn Convention Center in Stevens Point. They'll accept fish, invertebrates, reptiles, pet birds, small animals, and plants. I'm Melissa Kaye for WFHR and WIRI News.
March Madness is here. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the brackets are out. The Badgers play in Denver Thursday afternoon at 12:30 against Montana in the Ball Arena in Denver for the opening round of the NCAA basketball tournament. Marquette is going back to the dance. They face New Mexico Friday night in Cleveland. Head coach Shaka Smart.
This is a date that, as a basketball player or a basketball coach, you have circled on your calendar way before the season even starts. And it's something like 18% of teams end up playing in the NCAA tournament. So we don't take for granted even being in the NCAA tournament. This is really an acknowledgement today of the fact that our guys earned the right to be in the tournament, and now it's all about what we do with it.
NBA, the Bucks losing to the Thunder 121-105. Damian Lillard on how the Thunder were different than the team they beat in the NBA Cup last December.
I just think, you know, obviously they are who they are. They defend, you know, they move the ball, they got a deep team, and I just thought that we played a better game the first time.
That's Damian Lillard with Sports on Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Central Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 30. Breezy on your Tuesday with mostly cloudy skies, a high of 52. Rain and breezy for Tuesday night, lows in the mid-30s. Rain and snow for Wednesday. Snow could be heavy on Wednesday with a high around 39.
Right now, it's 55.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn, And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
L.A. Tom, L.A., what do you got for us?
We do have a woman problem in this country. There is an issue there that needs to be solved if we are ever to have a female president.
Look at Mexico has a president. You know, Margaret Thatcher. It's just all over the world.
You have to remember Margaret Thatcher. They had queens.
We have Lindsey Graham. Come on.
Wow, that's true.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Mattner and Greg Bock.
Coming up on the show, turns out Republicans aren't the only ones who don't want to hear from their constituents. Run away. Join us.
Mattner on air, weekday mornings at 10. Locally grown radio, WFHR. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right. And now, a guy who writes checks his mouth can't cash, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So great to have you with me on this Monday night. What better way to spend a Monday night than to call the entire family in around the radio and have a discussion about beer and aliens and Gene Hackman? Where else can you find that on a radio program in this day and age? Conrad, a little help? You can't, right?
I'm lost. I don't know.
Okay. Very exciting. We have Dave Hansen will be here at 7:35. He's the brewmaster at Flick's Brewhouse in Madison. And Dave reached out about a month ago and suggested creating a Nightlight inspired beer, which is very exciting. So that will be ready in probably a couple weeks. We'll talk to Dave about that at 7:35. Todd Michaels is here. A new look Todd Michaels is here.
I had a friend reach out and said that I look like Dave Hansen now.
Oh, that's right. I saw that. It was Matt Harper on Facebook.
No, somebody else actually said that too. So maybe I'm doing it in honor of Mr. Hansen.
Of the new Nightlight beer, I think more appropriately, right? Our question.
The balding brew. There you go. I mean, you're just going to have to shave your head, Pete. That's what you're going to have to do.
Listen, if there's a way for me to make money somehow at this, I will shave my entire body, which is important in radio. Tonight, ladies and gentlemen, our question of the night is, does Gene Hackman... He did not leave his kids any of his $80 million fortune. Not judging, but on my initial glance at this, after he admitted to being an absentee father as an actor where he would leave home for months at a time, not leaving his kids any of his $80 million, as it turns out, they will get it because of how he died in proximity, the timeline with his wife's death. There were no secondary beneficiaries, so they're going to get the money anyway. But... does Gene Hackman not leaving anything to his kids in his will change your opinion of the legendary actor? That is tonight's question of the night. Text us, app us, stream us, whatever. We would love to know what you think, and I will read it on the radio. Todd Michaels is here. He's the producer of the Mino and the Mayor show here at WGBW and WISS every morning. You can hear those guys. So much fun and a great way to start your day. He's also a paranormal investigator. We're talking about a new documentary that came out insisting that aliens live among us and do exist. But we have our doubts, but we're discussing it, and we're talking aliens. Todd, we have a texter, AJ, from the 608, who kind of touched on something we said before. AJ says, hey, Pete and Todd, what is your take on interdimensional beings? Because I thought that's what I believe the Sasquatch to be, very intelligent, but have powers we don't have enough information on.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what we did touch on. Yeah. And in my belief system or my mindset is, since we can't seem to grab hold of this Sasquatch thing, even though we've got a little bit of evidence or stories and all that kind of stuff, maybe that's what's going on. Maybe this thing is coming and going from some wormhole or portal or something like that that we just don't quite understand. But when you talk about that and you talk about skinwalkers and then you talk about aliens, I just think there's a ton of stuff that we just know nothing about.
Right. What's a skinwalker?
Well, that goes back to Native American beliefs and things like that. I just was on a podcast this weekend that talked a little bit about skinwalkers, kind of freaky stuff, but they are beings or entities that can kind of change shape and become things. And yeah.
Wow. Hey, yeah. Do you want to drop what the podcast was or tell people where they can follow you and your paranormal investigating?
Yeah, you can do a couple of things. If you look on Prime, I think it's still on Prime. There may have been some sort of disagreement on funding it or something like that. But you can find Haunted State on Prime Video. And the podcast is the Sandy and Toddcast. One of my friends, Sandy, and I talk about ghosts and other weird stuff every week, every other week, something like that. The Sandy and Toddcast.
I love that. And I saw that episode. Well, I saw one of the episodes. I think I actually saw two, but we talked about your Door County investigating. Really fun show. And it was really fun to see you on TV as opposed to just hearing your golden pipes on radio. But I think, okay, here's my issue. I feel like water, I feel like if there was something on land, we would have by now seen it. I feel like we're in an age of conspiracies where we want to believe something. Like, life is reality TV right now. And I'm kind of with you. I think something could exist, but where is the proof? Like, I just haven't seen any. And people, it seems like people want to will this stuff to be true.
And it's also difficult because every once in a while, you'll see a brief clip of something that somebody caught on their closed circuit television cameras or their Ring camera or whatever.
Yeah.
And the problem with that is it's not 1939 anymore, and it's not the Wizard of Oz, meaning that with just a little bit of talent and all the technology that's out there, you can fake this stuff very easily for video. So it's tough to determine what's real and what's not real. And again, so far, I've not seen anything that that makes me believe. Here's the thing. If there are dead alien bodies or something, Roswell, for instance, if there was an alien body that was found and they were researching this thing, where did it go? Where is it? Why didn't we see it at least by now, all these years later?
And that's what I was going to ask you about. What supposedly happened at Roswell? I remember watching something probably 40, 30 years ago on this, but what happened there? Why do people think something happened at Roswell?
Well, there's some debris and stuff that came down. The government said, hey, this was just a weather balloon that people saw come out of the sky. It was not alien related, blah, 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 blah. That was the United States government that said that. The problem with the timeline on this is right around that time when this news came out, there were people who were trying to scam people into believing that they found pieces of UFOs that turned into be like old pieces of jukeboxes and stuff like that from record players and all that kind of stuff. So there was this string of people that were doing hoaxes. And so that kind of muddied the water on the real research on this and the information that came out on this. Do you remember the Brady Bunch episode where Greg gets his room up in the attic of the house? And so he's up there with a whistle and a flashlight. And right. Bobby and Peter are down on the ground and they see this UFO. And it's just basically Greg and Marcia up in the attic playing a prank on the two of them.
Right. I mean,
That's a lot of that kind of stuff was going on back in the late 40s and into the 50s, where people were making this stuff up, and then it kind of washes away. And this happens today with paranormal research, with some of the TV shows that take ghost hunting over the top. And every time they're out hunting, they're getting possessed and all this kind of stuff. It takes away any credibility that may actually be there from an investigation like Roswell.
That's really interesting. Amanda on the text line or on the stream says AI is ruining the ability to find what's real. Is that true? Do you know what she means by that?
Absolutely. Basically, what I was just saying is with any kind of talent, even a little bit, you can find an AI generator online right now and say, here's a picture of Peachwaba. Make Peachwaba a flesh eating nightmare.
Sweet.
And it will take your life. And I mean, not far to imagine this, but it will take your likeness, Pete, and it will create that. And it takes everything that is in our nightmare dreams and it brings it to reality. And like Amanda's saying, it's tough to determine what is AI and what's not. You've probably seen it too with political people where they fake a speech and they say whatever they want these people to say. I'm talking about Donald Trump or Joe Biden, all that kind of stuff. They're having conversations that never really happened.
Right.
And so while we're doing all this, we're muddying the waters of determining what is real and what's not. And it's not just aliens, but it's our political climate. It's what's going on in other parts of our own planet. It's really tough to determine what's real and what's being made up.
Yeah, and that's the problem. It really is. Todd, that was great. I want to ask you, I sent you an article earlier. Have you heard this? This is in northern Wisconsin, a faceless snowmobile ghost on an old rickety Arctic cat up near Minocqua. And what do you think? That's creepy. It's almost like headless horseman territory. Like when I read that, it was a great read. Have you heard anything about this or is it worth investigating?
I have not heard of this story, but I read through it. And quite honestly, I giggled a little bit through it only because I've done a lot of investigating of what I would call folklore kind of stuff. And I've never come across something that was somewhat folklore-ish that ever turned out to be anything real. But apparently somebody up there not only saw this ghost snowmobilist, but actually had the snowmobilist ahead of him,
right,
behind him on the side, not being able to see his face and all that kind of stuff. Again, show me something real, get me a picture, find me something, get an autograph by the ghost or something. It's hard for me to believe that, that it's true. The other thing with a lot of these claims, not necessarily this one, but we've talked before about something called the Paulding Light, which is up in upper Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
And it's this light anomaly that comes in the middle of the woods and all that kind of stuff. There's another one on the East Coast called Somerville Lights or something like that. Very similar situation. They figured out it's not cars in the direct eyesight of the person seeing them, but it's a refraction of the light from cars in another location that makes it look like they're there. Again, scientific proof showing that this is what's really going on there. The motorcycle one is just kind of a fun little story. And there's a guy that I know that loves winter. His name is Kerry Longry, and he loves below zero temperatures and he loves all the snow. So I think maybe it's just part of his spirit up in northern Wisconsin doing this around Minocqua, I think, is where this story took place.
I thought it was cool because it was an ex-Marine, I guess, that was trying to catch this ghost with no face and couldn't catch, like he kept speeding up and the ghost, it just had really creepy elements to it. And sometimes I read those and I'm like, man, that would be really cool if that was true. Unless it was me chasing
the ghost. I'm thinking it's pretty close to the border up there, so maybe a little something's going on before taking the sled out.
Todd, I was going to let you go, but we have a phone call. Can you hang just through a very quick break? We'll take a call, and then I want to recommend something I think you might like to watch along these lines. So we'll do that. Todd Michaels is here. He produces Mino and the Mayor every morning here at WGBW and WISS, and he's talking paranormal activity here with us tonight. One of his hobbies, he's a paranormal investigator and always just an absolute blast to talk to. Dave Hansen, the brewmaster at Flick's Brewhouse in Madison, will be here at 7:35 to tell us all about the new Nightlight-inspired beer and his process. That'll be fun. That's all coming up. We got a long way to go, Conrad.
Yes, we do.
You look a little too comfortable over there, buddy. We got a lot of show left. All right, we're coming right back with Todd Michaels. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. I want to cry, cry, cry alone when you're feeling blue. I'm waiting just for you.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Once you and your spouse retire, you'll have some decisions to make, decisions that could affect your quality of life in your retirement years. For starters, how much should you withdraw each year from your 401k and other retirement accounts? You'll want to avoid taking too much too soon. Next, when should you take Social Security? If you wait until your full retirement age, probably 67, you'll typically get bigger payments than if you started taking benefits at age 62. Also, one spouse's decision may affect the other in terms of spousal benefits. Finally, if you haven't already done so, you'll need to work with your legal professional to decide which estate planning documents are needed, such as a will, a living trust, and various powers of attorney. You and your spouse will want to discuss all your choices and then decide which steps to take. After you've got your plans in place, you may well find that you can fully enjoy your retirement years.
This content was provided by Edward Jones for use by Clay Canopy, your Wisconsin Rapids Edward Jones financial advisor at 715-421-0958.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within The Morning Show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Oh, don't you dare look back. Just keep your eyes on me. I said you're holding back. She said, shut up and dance with me. This woman is my destiny. She said,
I kind of forgot about that song, and I sent that to you today, but there was a teacher at my daughter's school, and that song was on over the PA when the kids were changing classes. And I said, what is this? What is this song, to one of the teachers? And he goes, shut up and dance with me. And I said, I really don't think this is the time for that. I just want to know the song. Hi-yo! And he did not really get it and just kind of gave me a weird look.
I would have been the same
yes,
thing.
Sir.
folks, Todd Michaels is here. And our question of the night, I'll share this with you, Todd. My daughter is kind of a smartass. And our question of the night is, does it affect Conrad? What's the question? That's stupid. Google just logged in.
Does Gene Hackman not leaving any of his $8 million bucks to his kids change your opinion of him?
So here's my daughter on the text line because she's on spring break. She says, literally could not care less.
Was that her? I saw that, that come across. Her. And I thought she was talking about our conversation. And so I was gonna call Kate up and rough her up a little bit. So I'm glad you clarified that.
I will pass that along because she thinks, you know, she plays Taylor Swift one time on the show and she thinks she has carte blanche to criticize.
Yeah.
Todd is here. He is the producer of Mino and the Mayor. Check that show out every morning here at WGBW and WISS. We are talking paranormal investigating because that's one of Todd's hobbies. And we have a phone call, right? Let's get to this phone call. Maybe Ollie has information for us.
Well, I have a question for your guest there.
Sure.
I have a relative who is very much into paranormal and that kind of stuff. And she always points to the pyramids and the intricate design of the pyramids and how there must be another world out there that helped design that. And I just wonder what your thoughts on that might be.
Boy, that's a great question, Ali. Todd, I've heard that before, like people saying we didn't have the technology yet or the whatever. What do you say to that?
Again, this is just speculation on my part, and this just goes off of things that I've seen and experienced on my own and in my investigations, whether you're talking about the pyramids in Egypt or whether you're talking about the Aztec pyramids and all that. There's something going on there, right? Can we definitely point to outer space and the universe for that? I don't know that we can do that, but it's a very interesting thing. And again, if we just sit back and go, well, you know, people came together, they planned this, they built these things, and that's it, that's the end of the story, I think we're being really naive. There's got to be more to it. Where will we find the answers to that? I'm not necessarily sure. I think that if Leonard Nimoy had stuck around a little bit longer and his show In Search Of would have gone on for many, many decades, he would have gotten to the bottom of it for us.
That's a great
That's
answer.
That's what I think. That was a great show, by the way.
Yeah. Is this the line? Can you get that anywhere?
I don't know. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube, but that theme song and that show was just, it was crazy creepy, but yeah, so informative. I love that show.
Ollie, thank you for the call, and thank you for the question. Todd, before we let you go, do you have a favorite ghost story that you've either investigated or one you'd like to investigate?
Yeah, in fact, it's something that I came across today, Sanitarium Hill in Madison. It used to be home to what was known as Lakeview Sanitarium. And I don't like to investigate those kind of places that often because I think that they're over-investigated and I worry about the energies that are left behind there. But that is one in the Madison area that I would love to get into and do a little research on and just see if there's anything going on there. So,
that,
yes.
That sounds like a really cool place to investigate. Just the title, or a sanitarium or asylum, all those places. There was one in Peshtigo that they've since closed, but it was the Peshtigo Asylum, I think it was called. And it would be fun just to walk around in there, even if you weren't investigating. Like, just, I'd be so curious to see how everybody there lived, you know?
Yeah.
Todd, I have two recommendations for you.
Okay.
Along these lines. One is The Host. It's a Bong Joon-ho film. He did Parasite. He has the new Mickey 17 movie right now in theaters. He made a film called The Host, and it was about hazardous waste dumped in a river in Korea that morphed into this crazy creature. That seems like, I like when I find something semi-realistic, or at least that I could make the leap and think, okay, maybe this could happen. That was right. Good. And then right now on Apple TV is The Gorge with Miles Teller and Hannah Taylor-Joy.
I heard you guys talking about this. You and Conrad talking about it the other day.
Yeah.
Is it good?
It's streaming good. Yeah. It's good that you can watch in your own, and it would be okay in a theater too. I like those two actors. I like that they're looking over the gorge and not supposed to let anything leave the gorge. And then they kind of explain what's under there and how it happened. So it's kind of like you might see this and say, these are ghosts, but they kind of explain things. It's just interesting. I'd love to get your take on it if you ever get a chance to check it out.
I will check it out. I was very intrigued after hearing you guys talk about it and give your thoughts on it. I don't know, last week or something like that. So, yeah.
Awesome. Buddy, thank you so much. Thank you for your big donation in the cure to fight cancer for St. Baldrick's. You look awesome, and you're even more fun to talk to. Thanks so much.
Well, I'll just finish up your review, too, and that's going to be an A-plus for
You see how that's done, well, Conrad?
I better get an A-plus, too.
The kid's got stuff to learn. He's getting there, though. thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
Have a great night, guys.
Yeah, you too. That's Todd Michaels. Check out Mino and the Mayor every morning here on WGBW and WISS. And check out the Sandy and Todd cast if you're into paranormal investigating. It's really interesting. And we'll have to see if we can find the name of that show that Todd had on Prime. Because I did watch a couple episodes a long time ago when I first met Todd. And it was pretty interesting, especially Door County. Door County just lends itself to ghost stories, I think, right?
It does.
Have you ever thought your apartment might be haunted?
You know, actually, when I first, I didn't know my door was like kind of on a tilt for my bedroom.
Okay.
And when I have the window open and the wind comes in, it'll blow the door completely shut.
Oh, wow.
And it'll like slam. I was just watching TV in my living room and it happened. And I was like, so scared.
Might not be the wind.
But then I just realized, no, it does it every day if I have my window open. So
it could be the last guy that had the lease before you. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe something happened.
I don't know.
You might want to.
They have to disclose that, don't they?
If someone died in the apartment?
Yeah.
Yes, but he could have killed many others in the apartment.
Oh, no.
I think you'll be okay. Craig Kinnett checks in on the stream. He says, hey, Pete, I think in the end, Gene Hackman was suffering from Alzheimer's, so I don't know just how cognitive he was about things at the end. That's true, Craig, but the will was done like in 2005 or something like that. He says, I did read that his grandchildren are going to miss him dearly, so I couldn't have been too much of a jerk if the grandchildren are going to miss him. Yeah, all right, that's fair. Thanks, Craig. We're coming right back after the news. Flicks Brewhouse, the brewmaster, Dave Hansen, joins us here on Nightlight. We're coming back.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIR News, I'm Melissa Kay. Protests continue throughout the state.
Lisa Hill reports on a recent one in northeast Wisconsin.
Two separate but connected protests occurred Friday afternoon in Oshkosh. Both protests featured people passionately and legally expressing their dissatisfaction with changes made in the first months of Donald Trump's administration. Michelle Miller was one of the protesters.
I'm out here for so many reasons, though. I mean, I'm out here because my husband gets Social Security, and I have friends who are on and need disability, and I stand with Ukraine.
Indivisible Winnebago and Peaceful Patriots organized the protests.
Congressman Derek Van Orden hosted a virtual town hall last week amid criticisms over his perceived lack of availability to constituents. Joanne Krulatz has the story.
Congressman Van Orden began by repeating claims that George Soros-funded agitators have been disrupting in-person town halls across the country. He shared updates on the budget proposals in Congress and said he's been pushing back on some spending cut efforts by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. He closed the town hall by answering a handful of pre-submitted questions from attendees.
The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development has announced a new record high, 3,053,300 total non-farm jobs in the state, according to January's preliminary estimates from the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. Construction sector jobs increased 700, up 3,900 above a year ago. Preliminary employment estimates for January showed Wisconsin's seasonally adjusted unemployment rate ticked up to 3.2%, which is 0.8 percentage points below the national unemployment rate of 4%. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. You've heard of Ted Lasso, the Apple TV show that premiered during the COVID-19 pandemic. It came at the right time and seemed to make people warm and fuzzy all over and give them much-needed laughs. We could use more of that now, and according to Variety, the show is coming back for a fourth season. Ted will be portrayed by Christopher Walken. Just kidding, even though I think that would be hilarious. Jason Sudeikis returns to the show that garnered 66 Emmy nominations and 13 wins. The exact release date has not yet been mentioned. SNL 50 happened weeks ago, but Variety is reporting that Bill Murray got very emotional during the festivities. The actor appeared on the Sway Calloway show and admitted to crying three times throughout the broadcast, especially losing it when a clip of the late Gilda Radner appeared, saying he loved Gilda and absolutely came apart when he saw her on screen. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Central Wisconsin weather, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, partly cloudy, a low near 30. Breezy on your Tuesday with mostly cloudy skies, a high of 52. Rain and breezy for Tuesday night, lows in the mid-30s. Rain and snow for Wednesday. Snow could be heavy on Wednesday with a high around 39. Currently, 53 degrees.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, he would not be negotiating with the GOP if he was Wisconsin's sitting senator.
I want to clarify, like, I'm always happy to negotiate in good faith, but we're talking about a party that's not acting in good faith. We shouldn't be in a position where we're throwing a life raft to somebody who was hell-bent on sinking the entire ship.
Not something I want to be involved in.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Hopefully your St. Patrick's headache has gone away. We'll be discussing top broadband officials exiting the U.S. Department of Commerce, what it means for broadband in Wisconsin. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
There's a problem with every sign. Bargain buildings, weights and pulleys. Feathers
from the 818. Bridget responds to our question of the night. Do you think less of Gene Hackman for not leaving his children any of his $80 million inheritance, even after he said he was an absentee father? Bridget says, no. I wonder why, but maybe his children knew. I remember thinking it was odd that none of his children called to check in. He was alone for several days. Sad. Yes, indeed, Bridget. Thank you for the text as always. AJ, I'm sorry I just saw this text after we let Todd go. But he will be back on again at some point. AJ wanted to know what was Todd's most real supernatural experience. So that's a great question. And next time we have Todd on, we'll try to catalog that question and have that ready for him. Thank you for listening. We'll get to more of your texts in just a bit. Tomorrow night on the show, Christina Laurie, the founder and editor of Up North News, will be here at 6:35. And then Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens will be here on Wednesday from the TV show Bosch, Bosch and Bosch Legacy. Scott Clace will be here at 6:35, followed by Madison film critic Rob Thomas. Lots of fun coming up. Mike Toomey will be here making the popcorn pick of the week. Another fun week here at Nightlight. Right now, I'm very excited to introduce a guy I feel like I've known for a long time. I haven't really known him that long. We've been social media friends, but he is the brewmaster at Flick's Brewhouse in Madison and the one charged with making a Nightlight-inspired beer. It was his idea, so he brought this on himself. He joins us now over the phone, Mr. Dave Hansen. Dave, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Pete?
Doing very well. So are you taking a break out of, making and concocting this magical brew you're making that we've inspired?
Well, right now we're just waiting. It's sitting in the tank. You know, you put the dry hops in yourself.
I did.
And so it just needs time to just chill, settle down, you know, let the flavors meld.
Yeah.
You know, and so, then soon in, you know, about a week, I'm going to transfer it over, you know, so it's completely off any yeast, any hop particles that are left over, and it'll be transferred over. It'll be nice and clean, and then bring it up to carbonation, and it'll be ready to go.
You make that sound so easy, but that you probably have to be really patient. Like, I poured the hops in. We took a couple pictures. It was really fun last week at Flick's. How much patience goes into the beer making process? Like, it sounds like there's a lot of steps I don't know that people realize. And I know some people make their own brews at home, but tell us a little bit more about that process from soup to nuts. When you have an idea for a brew, how much work goes into getting it into a glass where people can drink it?
Well, it all depends on what you're going for, but it'll take a good amount of time. It's not an instant thing because you need to figure out what you're doing.
Yeah. You know,
like for us, we made a pale ale with Wisconsin hops. So we needed to figure out which hops we were going to go with. So we needed the lead time to get those ordered and then make sure all the malt was on hand. And then that can be, you know, a week, can be months, honestly, sometimes. Wow. Depending on the specific ingredients. But, and then come, you know, the day before brew day, you got to get your water ready. You know, by that time, you have to have any calculations to, you know, add some specific brewing salts or brewing minerals into the water. Make sure you have that exactly right on. And then comes the brew day where you're actually introducing the malt, you know, the wheat, you know, the oats that went in hazed on radio, but, you know, any multitude of those, among others, depending on the beer. And then that, hops, water's at the right temperature. And then, you know, 6 or so hours to do the actual brew until the point where everything's been boiled, everything's been separated, and then you're pumping it into the fermentation tank, cooled down to the right temperature that the yeast love, add in the yeast to it, and then you get to wait.
It's so good. Yeah, go ahead. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Dave.
So the next day you get to see some signs of life. You get to see that the yeast is working. So it might be raising the temperature a little bit, but you'll see, you know, bubbling of, you know, the vent stack that's bubbling in water because during fermentation, the yeast is letting off CO2 while it's making the alcohol. And sometimes it's very active and, you know, bubbling like a straw in a cup kind of thing.
It's so great. It was fun being there and watching you work last week because you're kind of, you, I don't know if this is an accurate comparison, but you kind of reminded me of like Sean Connery in The Hunt for Red October. You're walking around all these huge tanks pulling levers and like just, I can't even like, all right. And so let's get this out of the way. The brew is going to be called Hazed on Radio, a play on words from the Journey song or just an old cliche?
You know, kind of the phrase, but yeah, it's probably known most as the Journey song and album.
Okay, so Hazed on Radio, inspired by Nightlight with Peach Wobble. When you came to me with this idea, Dave, I just thought it was great, and thank you again for that. But how do you, is that your typical process as a brewmaster? Where do you find inspiration to create a new brew, typically?
Sometimes you never know.
Yeah, just you know, comes to you.
With Flicks, we're in a unique position that we can look forward to things that are coming up on the movie schedule.
Okay.
And tailor it to that. And sometimes it's, you know, an easy thing to figure out to kind of have a pairing with a movie that's upcoming and coming out. Sometimes it's just, you know a lot of people are going to be coming through the door with this movie and, you know, I better make sure I have something new and fun.
That's great. How did you end up at Flicks? Like, you obviously, did you learn to become a brewmaster while you worked there? Or was this something you planned for years ago and you found a nice niche between you and Flicks?
It's a matter of finding, they had an availability and I had availability at the time because the brewery I was working for previously had shut its doors. And so I was looking for somewhere. Flicks just, you know, rose from the ashes of the pandemic. And they were looking for somebody, and the timing just worked out perfectly.
That's so great. Let me ask you this, Dave, because I think I told you this last week. I don't know a lot about what goes into making of beers, but let's say you've got Hazed on Radio, the Nightlight beer, and then you've got something else. Is there a lot of nuance between beers, or is it basically the same ingredients and you tweak something here and there, or are they totally different sometimes?
Some are completely different. Some are very similar. Like, you know, most of the hazy IPAs I do, they're roughly the same. You know, there's tweaks you can do with different kinds of malts, being whether it's from different origins or, you know, different companies producing them. So there's some light tweaks that you do, but if you're trying to stay inside the framework of one style, then you're kind of, you know, hindered by that style you're trying to make.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. Go ahead, Dave.
So if you want to compare like making an American Pilsner, you know, to making a hazy IPA, it's, very different. You know, you're looking at different temperatures. You know, there's almost nothing other than just Pilsner malt, maybe a little corn or rice if you're going for that kind of classic American lager style versus, you know, with the hazy IPA, you're looking at oats, you're looking at wheat, you're, you know, looking at anything in between.
Is one of those that you just described, Pilsner or IPA, healthier?
Not particularly. Okay. You know, you're going to have a beer with lighter body, like a American lager. It's going to be lighter body, lower alcohol, and so it's going to ultimately be fewer calories, but it's not a health elixir by any means.
Okay. Dave Hansen is my guest. He's the brewmaster at Flicks Brewhouse in Madison at Easttown Mall. He does a great job there joining us here on Nightlight. Dave is the one who had the idea for a Nightlight-inspired beer. It will be called Hazed on Radio. It should be rolled out. Are you still on schedule for the Wisconsin Film Festival, Dave?
Oh, yep. It'll be right on. So it'll be the beer itself will be ready on the 3rd of April.
Okay, perfect. That's exciting. So if you go to the Wisconsin Film Festival, a lot of the films, Flix is one of the venues, and it's a great film festival. I'll be there doing a lot of Q&As and stuff like that. But stop into Flix, order a Hazed on Radio, and you can show your support for Nightlight and Flix Brewhouse all at the same time. Dave, is in terms of the brews that you've created, what's been your favorite? Like, what would you actually sit back and toss a couple of back? Do you have a favorite?
There's a lot. You know, there's a lot that happen that are favorites for like the, you know, the month and a half, 2 months that they're around, and then you move on to something else.
Okay.
You know, one of the first ones I did when I got to Flix was a Czech dark lager. It was rich, it was light and crisp. So that one was definitely one of my favorites.
So when these go away, can you still, like, if you like it a lot, do you save some or do you just kind of make it at home because you like the taste so much? How does that work?
No, I just kind of file it in the back pocket and bring it back whenever you can.
All right.
And just try and make it again.
So let me ask you this. You've got, and you might have told me this last week, but your beer is your thing. Like, I've got some beers I like. I'm a connoisseur by no means. But a guy like you, if you're in the mood for a beer, what kind of over-the-counter beer does a brewmaster, dare I say an expert like yourself, what do you go for?
I'm a very simple beer drinker at home. So right now in the fridge, I got Miller Lite. I think there's a Guinness tucked away in there still. We've got some Negro Modelo. Ooh. And then there's Indeed Brewing Company's Pistachio Cream Ale.
Interesting.
But other than that, it'll be, you know, go to the store, out at a restaurant, just try something new, try something I haven't had before.
Very nice.
It's rare to drink the same beer twice that's not, you know, Guinness or Miller Lite, really.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. So let me ask you this. You just said Modelo. Those commercials are so great. It makes me want to drink a Modelo. Like, that's how effective that advertising is. Do you have a favorite beer commercial?
Beer, you know, honestly, not really.
That was a question kind of out of left
most
field.
Most of the times I am coming across a beer commercial, it's, you know, it's watching football, it's watching the Brewers play, and it's just the same commercials over and over and over. So they tend to get old very quickly.
Well said. AJ checks in on the text line. She's in the 608. Dave, she says, "Hey, Pete, I haven't been to Flix Brewhouse yet, but I would love to try it out." You definitely should, AJ. It's a great place to watch a movie. She says, "But I would also like to try the Thrill Factory. Is that helping? I've only heard about it through the Shark Tank." Does that make sense to you, Dave? Do you know what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's a new, you know, big kind of arcadey, you know, all sorts of fun, you know, trampolines, laser tag.
Oh.
I think there's bowling there too. But it, on the, you know, other side of the mall. It's been there only a couple months.
What better thing to do after you down a 12-pack of beer than to jump on a trampoline? That's what I say.
There you go.
Hey, buddy, this was fun. Thank you so much for taking time out. I know you got young kids at home, and I appreciate you taking the time out. And thank you again for approaching us with this beer. I can't wait to taste it.
Absolutely. It's already starting to come into flavor. I tasted it today.
Oh, really? All right.
It's going to just get better and better.
My mouth is officially watering. Thank you, sir. We will we'll talk soon.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Dave Hansen. Check out Flix Brewhouse in Easttown Mall in Madison. I've seen two movies there when I've been in Madison, and it's just a great theater. You get some good food, some good beer, and look for Hazed on Radio, Nightlight inspired IPA that is coming out and will be ready by April 3rd for the Wisconsin Film Festival. When we come back, we're going to read your texts and shut this thing down. Please be here to help. It's Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. The Army National Guard has taught me the value of showing respect to those I come in contact with each day. My service also allows me to be there for my community in ways others can't. I help my hometown recover after nature strikes. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my country and those I care about safe from threats. I also work with a network of professionals that help me succeed and accomplish the mission. Plus, the Army National Guard education benefits make getting a higher education a reality. Being an Army National Guard soldier makes living and serving in my community more rewarding every day. Learn how you, too, can live and serve part-time, close to home, by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Having low income can mean making tough choices. Choosing between paying for food or medication or a place to live is a reality for many people. Do you know someone who could use some extra help? Find out about the Supplemental Security Income Program, SSI, administered by Social Security. You could receive monthly SSI payments if your income and financial resources are low and you are 65 or older, or an adult or child with a disability or who is blind. SSI is money you can use to help pay for basic needs, like putting food on the table, keeping the lights on, paying the rent. It can mean new shoes for growing feet or help with medical needs. Call 1-800-772-1213. Or visit ssa.gov/SSI to schedule an appointment or start to apply today. That's ssa.gov/SSI. This message produced by Social Security at U.S. taxpayer expense.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids, he's in the 608, says, pour me a Blatz cilantro. I don't even know, like, is Blatz considered, it used to be cheap. I know that. And I know it's brewed in Wisconsin. I don't even know if they still make it. But I always assumed, since it was a beer we drank in college, that it was not one of your upper echelon brews.
I've only had it once.
How was it?
I didn't like it. I'm not going to lie.
When I was younger, I couldn't even tell what beer I liked or didn't like. Like, I just couldn't, I didn't have the palate or the tongue with the taste buds, whatever, to really understand nuance. I just wasn't crazy about the taste back then.
In college, the beer that we drank was Natty Lights.
What is that short for?
Natural Lights.
Oh, no. I've heard of that. That's like the cheapest beer you can buy, right?
Yeah, it's disgusting. But it was cheap.
Natty Light, just that name.
I don't even. It's awful. I really don't drink any Busch Light or any of that anymore because of how much I had of it in college.
I remember Jay Cutler used to drink Coors Light.
Yeah,
that's supposed to be like close to water, I guess.
that's what that's the joke about it. Yeah.
Carrie from Tosa says, not too surprising about Gene H. not leaving his money to kids since his wife was so much younger. Makes sense to leave it all to her if he was distant from his kids. His kids probably knew his will was that way and likely didn't put forth much effort because of it. Sounds perfectly dysfunctional, like most families, famous or not. Doesn't sound like Carrie's leaving her kids anything. I'm making an assumption, Carrie. Thank you for the text. That's great. Steady Eddie chiming in. He's got shamrocks all over the place. He says, top of the evening to you, Leprechaun Schwabe and your lovable producer, Mr. O'Conrad.
I liked it.
I'm celebrating St. Paddy's Day with a big bowl of Irish fried rice. It's a lot like regular fried rice, but sprinkled with three-leaf shamrocks. Oh, that sounds tasty, Steady Eddie. He says, I'm a little disappointed to hear that Gene Hackman did not include his kids in his will. For now, I will reserve judgment on Mr. Hackman's likability and character. He was nevertheless a great actor. That is certainly true. Steady Eddie continues, the universe is a big place. The number of estimated galaxies is between 200 billion and 2 trillion. with billions of stars in each galaxy. I believe it is more likely intelligent life exists somewhere in the universe. I think we might find primitive life in our own solar system, maybe Mars. But to me, the probability that Earth has been visited by space aliens is remote, though I keep an open mind. As Carl Sagan said, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. Yes, I agree, Steady Eddie. He says, in these crazy times, the bigger question for me is, will intelligent life ever be found on the planet we call Earth? Steady Eddie, steady O Eddie, shamrock, sunglass emoji. Very well done, Steady Eddie. And a great question. And that's kind of where I'm at. I do believe there's life out there in that kind of expanse. But how would they get here? The 262. This is like an obscene. The 262 from listening on WAUK says, this is how blatant. This is how Blatz is brewed. And he's just got a cartoon of what looks like an alien peeing or Yoda. But the question is, 262, does it get you where you want to go? Does it get you drunk? Because as Krusty the Clown says, open your yaps, boyos. Tomorrow night, Christina Laurie, the founder and editor of Up North News, such a great publication. I love reading Christina's work. She'll be here tomorrow night at 6:35. And then Civic Media Sports Authority Mike Clemens joins us in the second hour. Do we have time to play our...
We could play it, but it would have to be fast lead
into it.
All
right, fast lead. And Conan O'Brien is going to host the Oscars again. He's coming back for another year, and he said it was because he needs to see the end of Adrian Brody's speech, which we've had a lot of fun with here at Nightlight. And here is Adrian Brody's phone call with me that we debuted last week. Hello?
Yeah, is this Pete Schwabba?
Yeah, who's calling?
It's Adrian Brody, chief d***. Heard you been talking about me, about my acceptance speech.
How did you get this number?
I could get to anyone. You've seen how broad my shoulders are.
Yeah, but what's that got to do with it?
I know you think you're hot with your little radio show, but people love my speech.
I'm sure they did. I'm surprised you're not still giving it, to be honest.
Yeah, I want an apology, and I want it right now.
Dude, I don't know what you're hoping to accomplish here, but most people thought your speech sucked. It was meandering. It went on forever. I'm sorry, but it was almost as long as The Brutalist, for God's sakes.
Yeah, I know a lot of people didn't like my speech. You think I don't know that? You know how many phone calls I still have to make? No one understands me.
Yeah. Hey, Adrian, come on, man. Relax. It's cool. Look, you got two Oscars. Why would you care what anyone thinks about your speech or feel the need to talk for that amount of time and not really say anything? Come on, man.
Oh, you know what? Here I am opening up to you and you take another shot at me. Have you seen my shoulders?
Yeah, but I mean...
Have you seen my shoulders?
Yeah, man. I saw a lot more of you than that in The Brutalist, which was totally unnecessary, by the way. Look, dude.
Look, it's cool, Schwab. I'll do anything for a role, but yeah, people love my shoulders. Hang on a second. Harvey Weinstein's calling from prison and make sure I'm treating his ex-wife well. You believe that guy? Ugh.
Yeah.
Hey, no hard feelings, chief.
He does have broad shoulders. You can't argue with that. And he wants you to know that. It's weird that a movie star, a two-time Oscar winner, would be that insecure. But whatever. He found me. He had a lot of calls to make.
Shoulders four times there? Four times.
I'm glad you were counting. I lost count. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. Tomorrow night is a Tuesday edition of Nightlight. Typically, one of the best episodes of the week, so you can't miss it. Great guests again. A fun question. More chances for you guys to chime in on text. Love reading your texts. Thank you to Todd Michaels for joining us tonight, and Dave Hansen, and thank you for all your texts and calls. On behalf of the lovable producer Conrad, I'm Pete Schwabba saying goodnight, Wisconsin.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz is coming to Eau Claire to do a town hall in Derek Van Orden's district, since Derek Van Orden appears to be a little shy.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
The Morning Show on WFHR. It's serious comedy.
I need to pack all of this stuff into my vehicle. What's the best way to do it? Okay, we're going to play car Tetris. My former sister-in-law was the best.
It's amazing.
I would like to see her and my father go toe-to-toe.
Nice.
Because my dad, man, this is where my dad shines.
Competitive car packing. I love the idea. Yes. Get some cameras on that.
Yes. New sport.
It's on ESPN 15.
Weekdays from 8 to 10.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. The Trump administration sent more than 200 immigrants to El Salvador over the weekend, even as a federal judge issued an order to bar the deportations temporarily. There was a hearing over it in federal court today. CBS's Matt Piper reports.
Lawyers for the Trump administration would not provide a federal judge any information about flights that deported hundreds of Venezuelans under national security grounds after the judge had temporarily blocked the flights. The ACLU's legal alert represents some of the Venezuelans.
If the government has this power and the president has this power, any group of people could all of a sudden be designated enemy aliens. The government's position is the courts could not review that. They could be in a minute's notice on a plane and put in a Salvadoran prison.
The judge has ordered the Trump administration to disclose by noon tomorrow details of the deportation flights. New efforts by President Trump to end the war between Ukraine and Russia involves a call tomorrow with Russia's President Putin.